All right, joining us today, he is entering MLW Battle Riot. MLW Battle Riot is in Los Angeles. They just upgraded to a bigger venue because they sold out the old venue. It is April 5th. Everyone can watch it on YouTube. Joining us now from MLW and all over the independent scene is Anthony Green. Anthony, how you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. We appreciate you joining us. All right, well, I don't know how much of the conversation you heard when you just popped on, but we're talking about EWR, TEW, Pro Wrestling Sim. You ever play any of those games?
Don't get me started on EWR, probably the greatest booking simulator game. Not to like already kind of move the conversation, but I was an avid booker of MLW in the game.
Nice.
I loved booking MLW. I loved booking like the 03 Ring of Honor and
hell yeah.
Especially NWA TNA at that time, because you got to run weekly pay-per-views.
Oh, I was just saying before you popped on, is I started a 2002 mod of, and I started with TNA, and I signed Goldberg, and I had him lose to Bryan Danielson in his first match, and he was so pissed at me. He's like, you should change the finishes. I don't care, Goldberg. Bryan Danielson's winning. Sorry, buddy.
And then it ended up being like, I got super nerdy into it. And obviously I found out about originally when I first started playing it in like 2007 or eight, I just thought it was that original 2003 version. Come to find out, you can just constantly like upload newer versions. Cause even still to this day, there are message boards that update EWR every single month. And I think I did it up until realistically, probably like the last time I uploaded it or like redid it was like 2021. So like I was playing it till pretty recently.
Yeah, the old school EWR, like the original EWR, EWR Revenge was like kind of the enhanced version of that. But it was so great because it was just kind of bare bones, basic stuff. And you just went through and did everything. Nowadays with like TEW, it's like, oh, you can have like a booking team and you have like backstage politics and all this stuff. And like the depth of it is really cool. But sometimes it's like, I just want to like get my shows out there and just run stuff. And that's it. And just lay it all out and see how it would simulate through this, through the data that you have presented.
Now, did you guys ever have like a top guy, like someone, no matter what company you ran? Like sometimes I would create my own company, but I always built my company around the same heel.
Oh, okay. Who was yours?
Steve Corino.
Ah, that's a good shout. It was actually just signed him.
Cause he could work. He was great on the mic. You know, I would always do like the generic feuds with him off the bat. Like I'm like, all right, let's bring in Masato Tanaka. Let's have that their feud. And then I ended up kind of recreating a feud from Adam Pearce and Colt Cabana, but I did Steve Corino and Colt Cabana. And man, okay, did they make absolute magic for Project X Wrestling.
I actually just signed him in my TNA sim. I always put over Sid. I'm a big Sid guy. Just sure. A dude who would go, like, he had pretty good ratings in some of those games too, especially like the intimidation and things like that. So he'd get like high scores on that. It's like, yeah, Sid is just gonna squash all of you dudes. So that was someone I always tried to build around. This just Sid.
Awesome.
All right, thanks for joining us, Anthony. We just want to talk EWR. So. tell us about the decision to join MLW and enter Battle Riot.
So I'm not sure if anyone saw, but on X last night, I did it during Japanese time. I announced that I have officially made my departure from Pro Wrestling Noah, and I've decided I really want to take a step in becoming a major star on a U.S. wrestling television product. And I think MLW is a great start for me. I think it's a great place for me to end up. And the Battle Riot just happens to be where it begins for me. There have been a lot of guys that have debuted in the Battle Riot. And every year, you know, the Battle Riot is the winner, gets a number one contendership for the MLW World Heavyweight Championship. This time around, the MLW World Championship is actually going to be on the line. And in my opinion, just based on the people that have been announced so far, it's probably the most star-studded Battle Riot yet. And I think it's the perfect one for me to make my debut in.
What do you think about another big name that is debuting for MLW in Battle Riot, which is Bishop Dyer, who is one of the latest names announced for that matchup? What do you think about his entry, and is he someone that you consider a threat in that matchup for you?
So I don't know if it's cockiness or stupidity, but I don't find anyone a threat in the match per se, because there's going to be 40 of us in the ring. We're all fighting for the same thing. So I believe we all have the same chances of winning. If there's anyone that should be threatened in that match, it should be Matt Riddle, because it's going to be 39 versus one. But that announcement is awesome. I mean, you saw what he's already done on the independent so far. He's done stuff in Canada. The guy made his independent wrestling debut at Hammerstein Ballroom. So I think that's pretty cool. And yeah, I just hope if it works out for him, he can become a regular for MLW as well.
You mentioned Steve Corino and how you like to make him the ace of your company. I know you've worked with Colby in a few matches. Did you work with Steve during your time at WWE?
Yeah, I did. I would actually say, outside of my normal coaches at the Performance Center, I would say Steve Corino is my mentor at the PC. He is legitimately one of my top three favorite pro wrestlers of all time. It's Shawn Michaels, Chris Candido, Steve Corino. I think they both offer something different. I think we all can agree Shawn Michaels is the greatest wrestler of all time. And then, you know,
Bret Hart fans are mad about that one.
I know. You're either one or you're the other. There's no middle ground there. I happen to be an HBK guy. You know, Chris Candido, the way he moved in the ring, he was very innovative with his bumping and his selling. And then Steve Corino, an undersized wrestler that had the career he did, not only in America, but in Japan as well, and became a top guy nearly everywhere he went. ECW world champion, NWA world champion, MLW world champion, a guy that never had a run, quote unquote, in the WWE, and is now one of the top coaches at the Performance Center. Like, I think that is quite impressive.
Yeah, so you mentioned a couple of the feuds that you did in the game with Steve Corino. What are a couple of the Steve Corino feuds that you think kind of define his career, and some of the stuff that you've actually studied being a student of the game that you are?
Yeah, I would say his favorite feud and my favorite feud of his has to be him and Dusty Rhodes. Because not only did that transcend in ECW, but they went on to do that feud for Dusty Rhodes' promotion, Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. They went on to do that in MLW. They went on to add that feud to Japan, doing it in Hustle. So if there's any feud, I would say that, quote, made him, or made me a huge fan of him, it was probably him and Dusty, but then also him and Hashimoto. I'm not sure if you guys know the story, but at the, I believe it was the 52nd NWA anniversary, they had a match where they pre-announced the finish, and then it did not happen the way that it was planned, and it turned into a near shoot fight, and then they ended up bringing that over to 0-1 a little bit later.
Oh, I did not know that story.
Yeah,
research that one. Talk to us about your time in pro wrestling, Noah. You won the GSC tag team titles with Jack Morris, and just overall sharing the ring with guys like Mara Fuji and being in pro wrestling, Noah.
So like I said, huge Steve Corino fan. So one of the coolest things I got to do is have a singles match with Masato Tanaka. Like, mind blowing for me. That was on my first tour. My first time wrestling in Corican Hall, I got to wrestle Satoshi Kojima. And then from then on, after my first tour, I was home for 4 months, not sure if I was going back. And then I got that call saying, hey, we have a plan for you. But they would not tell me what the plan was. All they said was bring black and white gear, like dark gear. I sent them a picture of gear. They said, that's perfect. So then I'm like, all right, let me get another set of gear similar to this made right away. And then when I arrived at the airport, they were very specific. They're like, please exit through this door, have like nice clothes on, and be prepared to be filmed. As I walk through, I see a camera on me, and I look to my left, and I see Jack Morris and Jake Lee. And I was gifted the first official Good Looking Guys t-shirt. And then from there, it really was like a rocket was strapped to us. you know, we made our debuts as a team at Yokohama Arena in front of over 8,000 people at Great Muda's retirement show. A month later, we're wrestling in front of over 30,000 fans at the Tokyo Dome. Jake Lee goes on to win the heavyweight championship. And then a few months later, me and Jack become the GHC tag team champions, which I honestly like didn't see happening anytime soon. Like, I thought that was something that would take time. And then within 9 months of the faction existing, him and I were the tag champs, and we ended up being the fifth longest reigning tag team champions. And I got to wrestle two of my favorite Japanese wrestlers of all time, Go Shiozaki and Naomichi Marufuji, on multiple occasions.
Awesome. So one thing I like to ask everybody who goes to Japan, as any type of tour in Japan, is did you go to Ribera?
Let me do the math here. Let me make sure I get the day right. I arrived on a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By Wednesday, I went to Ribera and I had a Ribera jacket. I got this beautiful gold satin Ribera jacket. I have to shout out Ikemen Jiro for hooking me up with Fat Ass Masa. And Fat Ass Masa is the man I have to thank for getting me my Ribera jacket. He hooked me up at Ribera. I got the Yokozuna steak. I got a side salad, the delicious corn soup, and ended it off with a beautiful satin gold Ribera jacket, which is literally in my closet right over here. I've only put it on twice, and both have been in special occasions. The day that I got it, and then I had dinner with Jiro, who happens to have the exact same jacket. So we took pictures of our matching jackets.
Now, how was the food?
So Ribera is good, but if you want the best steak in Japan, you have to go to Mr. Danger Steakhouse.
Okay.
It's a bit deep outside of Tokyo. It's like a very small town in Tokyo. But it's the most tender, juiciest, most delicious steak I think I've ever eaten. And then the danger soup is quite good as well. And then he cooks the food himself. So after, you can get a photo with a deathmatch legend.
Oh, there you go. So a lot of people like to say that is Ribera has the wrestling lore and everything, but like, it's good steak, but there are better places elsewhere in Japan to get a steak.
Oh yeah, if you are a wrestling fan or a wrestling person, you need to go to Ribera. You got to see the pictures on the wall, like the atmosphere in there. The atmosphere in Ribera is going to be a better atmosphere than at Mr. Danger Steakhouse. But if we're going strictly by taste, then Mr. Danger is the steak.
So I was going to ask, similar to that with Japan, everybody has their hotspots, places that they visit that not everybody would know about. You know, everybody knows about Ribera, and you kind of told us your other steak spot to go to. What are other kind of hotspots that you went to that you would visit frequently while you were in Japan?
Ooh, so anytime I would go to Osaka, they have like this little wrestling shop that they sell wrestling DVDs and action figures. I don't even know if the store has a name. It just says pro wrestling merchandise. It's on like a cutout sign. It looks like it's handwritten. It's a little hole in the wall, but it's an awesome store. And then when it comes to food in Osaka specifically, there is another steak place. It's called Cowboy's Hamburger Steak. They have hamburger steak and normal steak. Both taste delicious. And then if I'm in my area that I stay in, I was living in Saitama. There is a place called we call it PK, but Premium Karubi, which is like, it's yakiniku, which is another version of like Korean barbecue. So it's 80 minutes, all you can eat for $25. They bring you raw meat. You cook it on the grill yourself. There's side options, French fries, salads. There's a dessert bar, cheese balls. The cheese balls sound weird, but they are delicious. And it's endless, all you can eat for 80 minutes. You get an iPad. They give you like this iPad and you just knock some stuff in. It comes to you within 5 minutes and it's already on your grill ready to be cooked.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Do your research if you go to Japan. Very important to know.
Yeah.
You wrestled Crowbar this year. And I don't know how many people know, like, Crowbar is still like pretty active on the independent scene. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that match and what it was like working with him.
So I'll actually go back a little bit. In 2019, I got booked for a wrestling show in New Jersey, Go Pro Wrestling. I think it was their first and only show they ended up running. But I guess Crowbar was trying to get ready to get back into the ring full time, and he had a match with the Ring of Honor coming up, and they wanted to put him in with like an independent, like indie wrestler. And I ended up being the guy they asked to do it. So him and I wrestled back in 2019, and I thought that match was awesome. Then we ended up wrestling in 2022 on a small indie show in New Jersey. And then this past one is my favorite match that we've done so far. It was in Poughkeepsie, New York at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, a famous arena that's hosted, you know, ECW, you know, WWF TV, WCW house shows, House of Hardcore ran there back in the day. And not only did I get to wrestle Crowbar in this like hardcore rules match in an arena that used to host ECW, but the referee was Jim Molyneux, former ECW official, the Extreme referee. So that was just cool overall for a guy his age. And I hate saying it that way, but he's in incredible shape. He can still go as if he was in his, you know, early mid-20s. Like, he is as fresh as can be. And I think a lot of that has to do with him being a physical therapist and just knowing how his body works. But there's nothing that guy can't do. He gave me a top rope Hurricane Rana. He did like a diving splash over the top rope onto me that was laying on like a guardrail. I kicked him in the face, I think, 3 times, and he still somehow got back up. But yeah, Crowbar is not only a legend, he's a friend, he's a good dude. And like I said, for a guy that's been in the business for 30 years, he can still go at the best of them.
That's awesome. So you have this opportunity with MLW where you're going to be in there with 39 other men in the Battle Riot, but you say you're coming to MLW to kind of make your presence known in a U.S. company. So who are the people from MLW that you would like to lock horns in a singles capacity in the future?
Number one on the list would be Matt Riddle, assuming he walks out champion, because you want the opportunity at the title. But if we're talking strictly, like, I think this will be the best possible match, I would really like to wrestle Donovan Dijak. Anytime him and I have been in the ring together, it's been magic. It's been match of the night, and I think we can do that on a national scale as well. I would love to step in there with a lot of the legends that they have on their roster. You know, they use, you know, Satoshi Kojima would be one. Paul London would be another, C.W. Anderson. And then on like the more younger stage, the younger, more up and coming type guys, I would really like to wrestle BRG and Alex Kane.
You did a couple matches with TNA / Impact in 2022. Yeah. You faced Black Taurus, Beast Mortos, and Mike Bailey. What were the matches like, and any conversations? Like, was that supposed to lead to anything? What was working with TNA?
Yeah, so I got that call last minute, like a week before the show happened. And whatever, I went down to Miami to do the tapings. Wrestled Black Taurus. So I ended up wrestling both those matches in the same day. There was 2 different sets of tapings, but for whatever reason, both of my matches were scheduled on the same day. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter to me. I'm ready to work no matter what. I thought me and Taurus went well, but I thought me and Mike Bailey was incredible. We had like a 7-minute X Division sprint style match. Everyone was really, really happy with it. Scott D'Amore was super happy with it. Dreamer, Gail Kim, everyone seemed very pleased. Stayed in like contact with them. And then I think a month later, I was on a plane to Japan to do a 4.5-month tour to start the GLG stuff. Before I knew that, obviously. And I got a text from Tommy Dreamer as I landed saying, "Are you available this Friday in Orlando?" And I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm actually in Japan till May." And that's kind of where the conversation ended at that point. And up until then, like, I was full time with Noah really up until December. So I haven't had really talks with anybody. And then December, when I finally got home, the first thing I actually did was I went to the MLW taping in New York to kind of show face and meet Court Bauer and meet MSL. And that's kind of how this whole thing got rolling. So all I really needed was that opportunity to be in the United States long enough to have a chance to be in front of, like, you know, a national wrestling company. And MLW just happened to be the one that I chose.
So you've mentioned so many different legendary buildings that you've been able to wrestle in. What are kind of your top buildings that you like always wanted to work in, that you've been able to work in, and what are some that you want to work in now that you're back in a U.S. company?
So I will mention the ones that I want to wrestle in first, because I think it'll be a shorter, easier list. And not all of them are necessarily in the U.S. Madison Square Garden. I think that's on everyone's bucket list. The TD Garden in Boston, because that's my home. So that's definitely somewhere I want to wrestle. And then probably Arena Mexico. Those would probably be the top three that I haven't done that I want to do. And then ones that I have done that maybe I didn't think I would do. ECW Arena, which I've done multiple times. Corican Hall, which I've done 23 different times. I've got to wrestle at Nippon Budokan. I got to wrestle at Ryogoku Kokukikan, also known as Sumo Hall. I got to wrestle at the Tokyo Dome. Those are probably the big ones. And then there are some other, like, smaller arenas. Like, there's one in Kobe. The name is released from my head right this second. But there's this beautiful, like, glass artwork, almost like a church, and there's actually the Garden of Eden on one side, and then on the other side is the actual, like, Noah's Ark. So I got to wrestle for Pro Wrestling Noah with Noah's Ark behind me.
That's awesome. Very cool.
You sent out a tweet a couple days ago. This is for research purposes, not stalking timelines or anything like that. My new favorite hobby is betting on over-under parlays on WCW Saturday Night Squash matches. So I have to know, what's your ROI on these parlays here?
Oh, man, zero. I'm actually in the red right now. No, luckily, so I was with a good group of guys doing this. So there was actually no money on the line this time around. It's my first time. I was a rookie at this. I've never done this before. It was like, I don't know, midnight, and all of a sudden Colin Delaney throws on WCW Saturday Nights, and it's you see the most generic, obscure, like, name.
Yeah.
Hank Howard going up against Dustin Rhodes. And our over-unders would be, like, kind of funny. It'd be like, all right, how many arm drags are we going to see? You know, 3.5 is the over-under. So is it going to be over 3.5 or under 3.5? Then we'll do a drop kicks would be another one. We would do how long is the match? You know, Vader will come out, or how long is this one going to last? There was a match with Greg Valentine. He was wrestling Mike Graham. I'm like, all right, how many bumps is Greg Valentine going to take for Mike? But it was just, I've never done it before, and it was just, like, such a fun little way to watch pro wrestling. I actually suggest everyone to do it, whether that be watching WCW Saturday Night, watching WWF Superstars, I don't care. But watch a squash match and just make a ridiculous bet on what you think is going to happen.
Oh, this sounds like it rules.
I think this could be a stream. This could be a live stream.
This is a great idea. We might have to take this and try to get people involved with it. But this is a fantastic idea. Anthony, before we let you go, one thing we like to do with everybody, we play a little game on this channel. It's called Partner Promo Punch in the Face. I'm going to give you three names. You pick one to partner with, one to promo against, one to punch in the face. All right.
So am I promoing with them or against them?
Against them.
Okay.
Right. Against them. All right. So the three names, we're going to go the prime version of each of these people. And you'll kind of see the theme as these names that I'm throwing at you here. So ECW legend Steve Corino, WWE legend Shawn Michaels, and WCW legend Sting. Those are the three names that I'm going to throw at you.
All right. So I am going to team with Shawn Michaels. I'm going to promo against Steve Corino, and I'm gonna punch Sting in the face because he For no reason, Scorpion death dropped me in Rochester, New York in 2021, and this will be my payback.
Hold on. No reason. Sting is a man who has a reason for everything. I'm not saying you did anything wrong, Anthony, but...
All I'm saying is John Moxley and Eddie Kingston beat me clean in the middle of the ring. And as I tried to roll out in defeat, I got kicked back into the ring, picked up by Sting, and then Scorpion death dropped.
I don't want to say you were in the way, but you might have just been in the way, Anthony.
Eddie Kingston was in the way of me rolling out of the ring.
Did Eddie set you up? Did Eddie be like, hold on, here, Sting, get this guy. Can we blame this on Eddie?
That's basically what happened. Yeah. He kicks me in the ring and goes, get back in there, Stinger.
Okay, but taking a Scorpion death drop from Sting's pretty cool, though, right?
Actually, so fun fact about that. I've told it on a different podcast before, but I was in the reverse DDT, and where my head was located, I could see the screen. So I can see myself in the move, but the screen is like half a second behind. Right. So by the time I'm getting dropped, I'm still looking at myself. So I actually hit my head pretty hard on the mat.
Damn.
Well, that's not good.
That's yeah. Yeah. Is what it is. Cool moment.
Anthony, absolutely. We appreciate you joining us. Let everybody know where they can find you at. And guys, it is MLW Battle Riot. It is April 5th. They moved to a bigger venue in Los Angeles. It is sold out, but you can still watch it on YouTube, MLW, YouTube.com/MLW. Anthony, let everybody know what you got going on, where they can find you at.
All right. Yeah. So actually a new wave of tickets dropped yesterday for MLW, and you can get them at MLWLA.com. Please follow me on my social medias. I'm on X at @alternative_AG, and I'm on Instagram as well at @thealternativeAG. I also have a YouTube channel where I post about my life. I vlog from Japan. I just recently vlogged from India. That should be up very soon. I vlog about all my stuff on the independents. I'm sure I'm going to vlog stuff from MLW as well. And yeah, those are probably the three biggest things, and support myself, support MLW, and support this show right here.
We appreciate it, Anthony. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks, Anthony.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.